You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Kings blow back-to-back comfortable fourth-quarter leads. Not the way you wanted to start the new year here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings. This is your daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage each and every single weekday. Highlights, interviews, in-depth analysis, and breakdowns. All of it right here for you on the number one daily Kings podcast in the country. My name is Matt George. Welcome in. I'm from Sports 1140 KHTK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist. It's been a couple days since last we spoke. Welcome back and Happy New Year. Hope you had yourself a fantastic New Year's Day and New Year's Eve celebration. Hope you stayed safe. Welcome in to 2019. Could this be the year that the Kings finally break their playoff drought? Let's hope so, but things aren't looking too good. 2019, not off to the best of starts, but it's not all doom and gloom here on the Locked On Kings podcast. We'll talk about these recent two losses, two blown fourth quarter leads, one in Los Angeles against the Lakers, and then one last night in overtime against the Portland Trail Blazers. Also, I have to tell you of a new change, a new implementation to the Locked On Kings podcast that I think you're going to be very, very fired up about. I am super excited about it. The Locked On Kings podcast now has a voice mailbox. Now, I tweeted this out last night. You can follow me on social media at MattGeorgeKHDK if you don't already. I highly encourage you to, because that's a great place to get a lot of interaction with me on a moment-to-moment basis. I'm on Twitter a lot and always try and interact with many listeners on Twitter and many Kings fans on Twitter in general. During Kings games or on Kings off nights, it doesn't matter. But another great way for you to interact with me, other than through email, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com, and I get great emails from so many of you on a daily basis, so thank you for that. But now the Locked On Kings podcast has a voice mailbox. Now, what this is a number you call from your phone, and it goes right to voicemail. And there you can leave your takes, your thoughts, anything that you want to bring to the table. I listen to each and every single one of those that come in. I got a bunch last night as we officially launched it last night before the Sacramento Kings and the Portland Trail Blazers went to battle in the Golden 1 Center. So I listen to each and every single one of these voicemails, and I'm going to select a few randomly depending upon their quality and if they're topical and things like that. I'll select them and implement them into the podcast. I've said time and time again that this podcast is not just a platform for me to share my Kings thoughts or my Kings knowledge or what I've experienced and anything like that, and for you to just listen. This is a platform for you to share your thoughts as well. Now we're taking that to the next level. So all you have to do at any time is call our new call-in line, 909-566-0232. Again, that's 909-566-0232. You can call that number at any time of the day. Again, it goes right to voicemail. Leave your thoughts. Be sure to leave your name and either your Twitter information or where you're from, anything like that. I will listen to those. I try and respond to those, and I'll try and implement them here as much as I can on the Locked On Kings podcast. I have two that I'm going to be plugging in later on in the podcast that could be you, so be sure to listen to find out if it is you. I got like 15 or 16 voice messages alone after the game last night. I unfortunately cannot feature all of them on the podcast, or it would be another fans-only episode, but I'm happy to listen to them, I'm happy to respond to them, and to hear them, and I hope you will enjoy having that outlet and your ability to use that to potentially appear here on the Locked On Kings podcast. So let's unfortunately dive in and talk about these two games. The first one we're not going to talk about in too much detail, the Sacramento Kings. Now, when we left our last podcast last week before the New Year's festivities was the day after Bogdan Bogdanovic hit the game-winning step-back three-pointer over Tyson Chandler in Sacramento to give the Kings the win over the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, everybody was on cloud nine, and rightfully so. A couple nights later, on Sunday, Kings traveled to Los Angeles to take on the Lakers, and it was a very different game. The Kings, who battled from behind for most of their win at home, were in control for much of this game against the Los Angeles Lakers. They were the better team for the majority of the night. They did struggle early on in the first quarter, allowing 37 first quarter points for the Los Angeles Lakers, but they did outscore the Lakers 37-27 in the second quarter. It was equal at 28 apiece in the third quarter, and early on in the fourth quarter, the Kings had control. They had a comfortable lead, and they looked like the better team that was not necessarily going to cruise to a victory, but they looked like the team that was going to get the back-to-back wins against the Lakers. They looked like they were going to escape Staples Center with their second win over Los Angeles this season. That wasn't the case as the Kings fell apart. They were outscored 29-18 in the fourth quarter overall as they lose 121-114. Leading scorer for the Los Angeles Lakers in this game was Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who finished with 26 points. You also got 26 from De'Aaron Fox. Fox had a fantastic game, 12 of 19 shooting from the field, also had 7 assists and 3 steals, but it just wasn't enough as the Kings went ice cold late. Their execution wasn't very good. They were taking quick shots when they had time on the shot clock to take advantage. And very similar situation to what happened last night against the Portland Trail Blazers. The Kings, they got good looks. They really just needed one or two to fall to put the game away. And they couldn't hit shots. The offense that was strong the entire night went ice cold at the wrong time. The Kings ended up shooting 48% for the game, but that was in the 50s before they went ice cold in the fourth quarter, and the Los Angeles Lakers at home took advantage. You got also 22 points from Hart, 21 points from Ingram, 18 points from Kyle Kuzma. It was a whole team effort for the Los Angeles Lakers, and they took advantage of that home court and that home crowd. They got some momentum late, went on a big run, and it really was the game that got away for the Kings. And it was an unfortunate way to end that two-game set against Los Angeles because it looked like the Kings were going to be able to get both games and be feeling good heading into 2019, and that just wasn't the case. And then the Kings last night took the floor against the Portland Trail Blazers. Highlights for you coming up next here, as well as your phone calls on the Locked On Kings podcast. We will start this Kings and Blazers breakdown actually with some good news, as the Kings held the Portland Trail Blazers to just 26 points in the first quarter. Now, why is that significant? Because they hadn't done that since December 1st, which is their loss in Indiana against the Pacers. From that game on, every single game, which is 11 straight games, the Kings allowed their opponents to score 30 or more points in the first quarter. Defensively, the Kings have been getting off to some dreadful starts. So they played good defense against Portland. They trailed by one heading to the second quarter, but allowing or giving up only 26 points in the first quarter to a Portland Trail Blazers team that has a lot of firepower, especially from their backcourt, was a good sight to see. Now, it didn't last very long, as the Blazers put up 38 points in the second quarter, outscored the Kings 38-25, and they took a 14-point lead into halftime. Now, the Kings, we have gotten used to over the recent weeks, the Kings becoming those comeback champions and always making a run and getting back into the game, so Kings fans felt pretty optimistic that the Kings were going to be able to make something of this game and get back into it. It didn't take them long to do so. They outscored the Blazers 27-19 in the third quarter, and this game really changed when Harry Giles checked in off of the bench. Willie Cauley-Stein had a dreadful night, and we're going to talk about him. Yusuf Nurkic absolutely outplayed him from top to bottom in this game. Yusuf Nurkic's stat line is just monumental, blow your mind out of this world. We'll talk about that too. But that's where we're going to pick up the highlights in this game, is when Harry Giles checked in and the Kings went on a massive run to take a lead heading into the final minutes of the fourth quarter. Unfortunately, if you watched the game last night or if you saw the final score, you know what happened. Take a listen to the G-Man Gary Gerald's call of the Kings' comeback and then blowing a 9-point lead with just a couple minutes remaining.
Nurkic grabs another rebound. His 12th. Here's a steal by Iman Shumpert. Kings have numbers if they push. Shumpert on the right angle. Feeds to the corner. Up fake by Buddy. Back out to Shump. He's wide open for three. He's got the triple. Oh, that's a welcome sight to see Iman Shumpert knocking down his first three-pointer in three attempts. 66-59, early third quarter. They head to Harry Giles. Giles with a spin move and a two-hand flush. Pretty play. He realized the defender was going to come and challenge, so he spun around him and made the two-hand flush. And Kings fans absolutely elated with that move from the rookie. Lillard gets into two-point range down the right side of the lane, has the ball knocked out of his hand, saved by Justin Jackson, ahead now to Bogdanovich, 5 seconds to go. Bogey on the right wing, now he drives into the lane, kicks to Giles, baseline Jay for two, he's got the bucket with 0.2 seconds to go, and we're back to a two-possession game at 83-77. Hope springs eternal for the Sacramento Kings. The inbound pass resulted in the end of the third quarter. Harry Giles, Bogdan Bogdanovich, Nemanja Bjelica, and Yogi Ferrell on the floor. Here's an alley-oop that's missed out inside by Myers Leonard. He was at the rim, but he could not convert. Great opportunity for the Kings here. Ferrell drives, drops to Giles, up and down, move to the rack, and he scores it. Coming from the right side of the lane, terrific setup from Yogi Ferrell. Four-point game at 85-81, 1 minute into the fourth and final quarter. Here's Nick Stauskas in the corner for three. He comes up empty. Rebounded by Bogdanovich. Bogey races ahead, finds Yogi Ferrell, explodes to the basket. Scores on a driving layup on the right side. Terry Stotts trying to keep this crowd from really gaining full throat here has called timeout. 9 minutes to go now. Baseline right. Digging toward the paint. Losing the ball on a shake move. Zach Collins. Giles pounced on it. Feeds it ahead to Bogdanovich on the right wing. Bogey pulls it back out. Bogdanovich missed his first 8 shots tonight, made his last 3. He's working at the right elbow. He's got another 16-footer on the way. He's got the bucket. The Kings now lead at 89-85. 17-2 is the run. And again, Terry Stotts calls timeout. And look at the Kings fans who were very bleak in the second quarter of this ball game. They're truly excited now. And I'm right with them. His belly on the right wing and 3-point range to Bogey. Bogey now in rhythm for three. He's feeling it. He's scoring it. He didn't make his first 8 shots, and now I believe he's made 6 in a row. He's got 14 points, and the Kings lead 94-87. It's Sacramento's biggest lead of the ball game. Baseline right. Pull up for two. Missed by Lillard. Back tap. Grab by Heal. Kings push. Heal's going all the way. Euro steps to the rim. He's got the bucket. 27 points for Buddy Buckets. Kings lead at 101-92. And Terry Stotts has called another timeout. He's down to one remaining timeout. Jaeger has 3 in his pocket. Still lots of time to go. Kings are up 101-92. After that back tap went out to Heald, and he euro-stepped his way from left to right to the rim, went with the left hand and the finish. The screen from Belly, rolls right. Lost the ball, but Colley-Stein is there. Willie drives to the back. He is blocked by Nurkic. Here come the Trailblazers, trailing by 4. Here's a drive to the basket, up and under, scoop and a score. It's good by Damian Lillard. 103-101, 46 seconds to go. That sequence all triggered by the defensive block from Josef Nurkic. Kings fans coming to their feet. Nail-biting time at Golden 1 Center. 35 seconds to go. Inbounds foul. He had Heal, but he missed him. They go inside to Bjelica. His shot attempt was deflected. I think Nurkic got a hand on that. 20 seconds to go. Blazers move it ahead methodically. Lillard now drives, finds the seam, got the layup. This game is tied. 15.5 seconds to go. Portland's come from 9 down in the last minutes to tie it at 103. The Kings are not taking that timeout. They're going to go for the win. 6 seconds, 5 seconds, Fox on the right wing, high screen Bjelica, Fox stutter step, pull up straightaway, 21-footer, heel of the rim and out. And for the first time this season, the Sacramento Kings are going to go to overtime. Inbounds foul, he had Heal, but he missed him. They go inside to Bjelica, his shot attempt was deflected. I think Nurkic got a hand on that. 20 seconds to go. Blazers move it ahead methodically. Lillard now drives, finds the seam, got the layup. This game is tied. 15.5 seconds to go. Portland's come from 9 down in the last minutes to tie it at 103. The Kings are not taking that timeout. They're going to go for the win. 6 seconds, 5 seconds. Fox on the right wing. High screen Bjelica. Fox stutter step, pull up straightaway, 21-footer, heel of the rim and out. And for the first time this season, the Sacramento Kings are going to go to overtime.
Well, I really enjoyed the first half of that highlight package, which was the Kings going on that massive run. And make no mistake about it, it was spurred by the bench, and it began with Harry Giles. Harry Giles checked in the game. He brought a lot of energy, a lot of hustle on both ends of the floor, had a nifty spin move in transition to throw down a dunk that really started that Kings push. Yogi Ferrell was fantastic. Also off the bench, you heard a couple highlights from him. And then Bogdan Bogdanovic, he was scoreless without a point in the first half, and he finishes the game with 19 points. He was fantastic in the second half, and he was the only King in overtime, unfortunately, to hit a shot. But the Kings have a 9-point lead with 3 minutes remaining, and you just knew Damian Lillard was going to wake up a little bit. Now, Lillard didn't have that great of a game. He did finish with a team-high 25 points, but he did so on 21 shots. He went 8 of 21 from the field, 1 of 9 from three-point range, so he really had a rough night. But when it mattered, when it counted, Damian Lillard got back-to-back layups to tie the game late, as the Kings had 4 or 5 possessions that they came up empty-handed, that all they needed was really one bucket to put the game away. And they just couldn't get it. And it was a lot of isolation basketball. It was a lot of high pick and rolls for either De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, or Bogdan Bogdanovic, and everybody else was standing around watching. And this Kings team is not good enough to play isolation basketball down the stretch. And that's a problem that a lot of teams, not just young teams, fall into. They go for hero ball. And the Kings did not have to play hero ball up 9 with 3 minutes remaining. They had to use the clock, get good shots, get good looks, make one, and the game is over. Now, they did get a couple of good looks, including back-to-back three-pointers, wide-open three-pointers from both Buddy Hield and Bogdan Bogdanovic, and they missed on both of them. Now, had they hit those, it's a completely different story here on the Locked On Kings podcast. But hindsight is 20/20. It's too little, too late. Kings had opportunities, and they just ran into a wall, and they ran into a wall against a better team. Make no mistake about it, the Portland Trail Blazers are a great team. 22-16 now after the win. They win their 8th game on the road, and they are currently well in the mix, in the middle of that playoff picture inside of the very competitive Western Conference. But it's just one of those tough losses to swallow for Sacramento Kings team, and this is just one of those growing pains of a young team. Now, I know a lot of fans are frustrated to hear that. They don't like to hear that because it looked like, especially earlier on in the season, the Kings have gotten over that hump and been able to hit the big shot or been able to close out games either at home or on the road that they should have won. But this is now 3 games in the last month that the Kings were in control late and they couldn't get a bucket, and the other team came back and won. The first was against the Golden State Warriors, and the Kings had a comfortable lead inside Sacramento with a few minutes remaining, and the Warriors went on that massive run to steal that game. You have the Lakers game that we talked about on Sunday, and then this Blazers game last night. And that's 3 games that we could be looking back. You could even count the Warriors game in Golden State earlier on in the season when the Kings really just needed a defensive rebound to win that game and couldn't get it. You look at games like that, and you point to those in a tight playoff race at the end of the season. You hope that's not the difference between the Kings being an 8th or 7th seed or watching the playoffs from their couch. But they're growing experiences, they're learning experiences, and Dave Yeager said as much following the game. Now, I don't have time to play any post-game audio from you from the players or from the coaches themselves. All I can tell you is the major highlights that we learned post-game, both were from Dave Yeager. The major one really was that he'd said that he played Harry Giles and he subbed Harry Giles into the game in the third quarter to bring energy, and Harry certainly delivered. However, he didn't say, or he was pretty coy about if that was going to end up in more minutes and more playing time and more opportunity for Harry. Now, I know some fans were rubbed the wrong way by that. They were bothered by that. To me, that's par for the course for Dave Yeager. He typically plays his cards close to his chest with his rotations, doesn't want to reveal too much, and also doesn't want to overreact to one good game by Harry Giles. Now, it was a great game by Harry Giles, easily the best game of his pro career so far, and I hope to see him get more minutes, especially at the power forward position, where I think he's just more of a natural fit and he plays better and plays more comfortable on both the offensive and defensive ends of the floor. But remember, Dave Yeager, going back to last season, he made sure to stay confident and stay comfortable with his young guys, but not give them too much opportunity and not give them the keys too quickly. We saw that with De'Aaron Fox for the majority of last season, and now look how much he's grown and look how ready he is heading into this year. You could say the same thing about Buddy Hield, who played the majority last season coming off of the bench. This is how Dave Yeager operates and how he's operated for quite some time. And if Harry Giles could make the jump next season, that De'Aaron Fox made this season or this summer, that would be fantastic. And if playing him in limited minutes and in limited spurts during his rookie campaign is what it's going to take, then I trust Dave Yeager 100%. Now, I go back and forth with Kings fans on Twitter all the time. I enjoy it. I also hate it. It's a love-hate relationship, and I know a lot of Kings fans are passionate. I know this fan base is the best in the NBA, but they also have a tendency to overreact and go doom and gloom or full just really crybaby mode when things don't go their way. I understand last night's loss was a tough pill to swallow. Everybody inside the Golden 1 Center and outside the Golden 1 Center who wasn't a Portland Trail Blazers fan was frustrated by the Kings' collapse and by what happened last night. But anybody questioning Dave Yeager, and I interacted with two or three people on social media last night that just made me roll my eyes all the way into the back of my head. Anybody questioning Dave Yeager or suggesting that Dave Yeager made mistakes or Dave Yeager was the reason why the Kings lost that game or he should have played Harry Giles more in the fourth quarter or things, anybody questioning Dave Yeager's coaching IQ, questioning his rotations, is a moron. Because Dave Yeager is a Coach of the Year candidate. He's turned this game around completely, or turned this team around rather completely in one summer and had them off to this fantastic start. They're still 19-18 to start or after one game of 2019, which I think any fan at the beginning of the season would have taken easily, without context, 100%, no questions asked, and no frustrations, no crying, no anger being shown. Now, these last two losses, again, I get were frustrating, but we would still take this Kings team being 19-18 over the alternative of what they were at this point in last year and in years previous to that. All I can say is this. Dave Yeager is the right guy. He may have made mistakes at times with his rotation last night, playing Willie Cauley-Stein instead of Harry Giles when Harry Giles led that push down the stretch. I also question how ready Harry Giles was to play big minutes in crunch time against Yusuf Nurkic. Now, hindsight is 20/20. Again, we'll never know, so all we're going to do is run with hypotheticals. Well, Harry was playing that good then, so had he played in the final minutes of the fourth quarter, he would have been that great. Not necessarily. He did play 13 straight minutes after playing nada in this game. So I would expect maybe fatigue to play a part in that as well. But the bench did what they were supposed to do. They got the Kings back into the game, and then the starters had to close the game out. And the starters couldn't. They couldn't get a bucket. They gave up too many good opportunities at the rim on the defensive end of the floor. And we saw what happened. Kings lose in overtime after making just one field goal in the final five-minute period. 113-108 the final. Now, a lot of these calls here that I received last night on our Locked On Kings voice mailbox had to do with Willie Cauley-Stein. Many of them very frustrated, very, very angry from Kings fans, and I understand that. Look, I have been the biggest defender of Willie Cauley-Stein, and he was garbage last night. He was terrible, and he was completely outmatched by Yusuf Nurkic. Let's put this into perspective for you. In 33 minutes, Willie Cauley-Stein went 2 of 14 from the field, finishing with 5 points and 11 rebounds. Now, he was plus 2 for the game, and I know a lot of fans don't like the plus-minus stat, and sometimes that's why. Yusuf Nurkic, in 38 minutes, 5 of 10 from the field for 24 points. He also pulled down 23 rebounds. He also had 7 assists. He also had 5 steals, and he had 5 blocks. Yusuf Nurkic was a beast last night, and you could see the difference between an established center and rim protector and big man and what Willie Cauley-Stein brings. Now, Willie Cauley-Stein is inconsistent. We know that. He's a better offensive player overall than Yusuf Nurkic and a lot of the centers in the league, which caught us by surprise, at least in recent years, after the type of player that he was coming out of college. But fans are frustrated with his lack of effort and hustle sometimes on the boards and blocking shots. And the Kings certainly could have used, they didn't need hero ball scorer Willie Cauley-Stein last night. They needed rebounding and shot blocking Willie Cauley-Stein last night, and they didn't get that. Harry Giles provided that in his limited minutes off the bench, but you didn't get that from Willie Cauley-Stein. I 100% understand fan frustration. I still believe Willie Cauley-Stein is an important piece to this Kings core going forward. That doesn't mean I'm going to be paying him $15, $16 million a year or the massive payday that he wants this summer. At this point, I don't think any team is willing to give him that. But I still believe he is a crucial piece to this Kings team going forward, and he could be a great fit with his play style with this Kings core for years to come. We'll have to wait and see if his play improves, and they're certainly going to need him to get better and play better if they want to have a hope of beating the Denver Nuggets here in just a couple of days. But enough from me. Let's hear from some of the fans here on our brand new Locked On Kings podcast voice mailbox. Jaden asked a great question about Willie Cauley-Stein.
This is Jaden Diamond, Jader's Diamond on Twitter. Matt, you're a great follow and you're a great Kings fan. I'm just asking about Willie Cauley-Stein. He's kind of at a bad stretch, and it just seems to me that he's kind of lost a lot of times on the court. You know, he gets out-rebound, out-hustled, or he doesn't really have a plan to the basket. I'm just asking, you know, what do you think the timetable on him? Do we trade him at the deadline? Do we keep him until after the season, or what's the deal? All right, thanks, Matt.
Jaden, thank you so much for calling in and using the Locked On Kings voice mailbox. I appreciate you taking the time, and a great question about Willie Cauley-Stein. Now, he's asking me personally what I would do in regards to Willie if I would consider trading him at the trade deadline, what my leash is with Willie Cauley-Stein. Now, my leash, I'm aware, is longer than most others when it comes to Willie. Like I just said, I still believe that he can be a part of this core going forward. That being said, I'm definitely not opposed to moving him if you can get the right deal, and the right deal is extremely important for this Kings team, as they don't want to hustle or rush into any kind of win now move to try and put them over the hump and get them into an eighth seed or a seventh seed. That wouldn't fit with the plan and wouldn't fit with what they're trying to do overall, which is rebuild with this young team and build a core that could be a playoff team for years to come. If they went and traded Willie Cauley-Stein and another piece to get a one-year rental star or big name that could help them immediately but had very little chance of re-signing in Sacramento, to me, that's not the right move. That's a bad trade. I don't think Willie Cauley-Stein or the rest of that Kings front office would even consider it. So in that case, I wouldn't trade Willie Cauley-Stein. However, if I could package Willie Cauley-Stein in, let's say, to Washington to make a move for Otto Porter, and if Willie Cauley-Stein had to be the major piece in that, then yes, I would be okay with that, assuming that Marvin Bagley is healthy, assuming that Harry Giles is ready to get a minutes increase, and then Kosta Koufos and Nemanja Bjelica are also still there to bear a brunt of the load. Now, I hear your frustration, Jaden, and I think you hit the nail on the head. Most fan frustration with Willie is not necessarily his numbers, even though last night he had a bad night statistically. It's the hustle and the effort with him, and I think the hustle is the right word. Willie Cauley-Stein just looks disengaged at times, and I understand it's extremely frustrating to fans. It's frustrating for me to watch, especially as someone who's trying to defend Willie Cauley-Stein on a nightly basis, but he just looks disconnected, and it looks like he goes through the motions at times. And centers, big centers like Jusuf Nurkić, they take advantage. They absolutely outplayed, and he absolutely outplayed him last night. Steven Adams absolutely outplayed Willie Cauley-Stein on the glass when he was here in Sacramento with the Oklahoma City Thunder in their win not too long ago. It happens far too often for the Kings, for fans, to be comfortable with Willie as the daily center going forward. And that was the big difference that you saw when Harry Giles came into the game, right? Harry Giles doesn't have the established skill set that Willie Cauley-Stein has yet. Hopefully he can develop that, but what he does bring that Willie doesn't necessarily bring, I have no question of Harry Giles' effort off of the bench every time that he comes in. Same thing with Marvin Bagley. You know you're going to get 110% from those guys because they're young rookies who are trying to establish themselves and make a name for themselves in the league. We haven't seen that consistently from Willie Cauley-Stein really since his rookie season, and it's common. It's common, right, for rookies to play with that effort and intensity on a nightly basis because they're new to the league, they're excited, they're wanting to establish themselves, they're wanting to make a name for themselves and prove that they belong. Willie Cauley-Stein will get up and get excited and get fired up for certain games. We saw him get fired up and really be engaged on opening night against the Utah Jazz, but you certainly want to see that on a nightly basis more from Willie. He didn't deliver on that last night, and he hasn't delivered on that much throughout his career. One more call for you here before we wrap up the Locked On Kings podcast. It's from Bobby Cummings, who I interact with a lot on social media. Great Kings fan, dedicated, passionate Kings fan. We disagree on some things, but he's also a great listener here of the Locked On Kings podcast. He took about a minute to share his thoughts on the game overall last night, and I think you'll agree with a lot of what he has to say.
Hey, Matt. This is Bobby Cummings again out in D.C. I just wanted to share my thoughts on the game. It was a frustrating one tonight. It seems like the fan base is rather upset with Willie Cauley-Stein, and rightfully so. I think tonight was kind of the breaking point. He just doesn't provide the rim protection that's required, and he just doesn't give enough effort getting after rebounds. You know, it was very noticeable watching Harry Giles come in and, you know, put forth his effort and collect those rebounds and make a difference in the paint. Aside from Willie, though, struggles, I thought Buddy Hield played a great game. He's worked on his game so hard in the offseason. He's a better on-ball defender, but his handle on offense is very noticeably better, and it's great to watch him play. And aside from that, one thing I'd like to see moving forward is De'Aaron Fox to be less passive on offense, especially in the fourth quarter. I think it's critical that he really take charge of the offense, go get the basketball, and, you know, penetrate into the lane, create shots for his teammates, just take on a more assertive leadership role. You know, this front office has given him the keys to the kingdom, and he's got to drive in the fourth quarter, you know, literally and figuratively, and start pulling out some wins for this team late in the game. If he can do that down the stretch here in the season, the Kings, I think, still have a chance for the eighth seed. They need to figure out a way to acquire a big man that can protect the rim and get after some more rebounds. And if they're able to do that, you know, eight seed's very possible. Thanks for your time, Matt. Have a good night, and go Kings.
Thank you for the call, Bobby, and I'm really glad you brought up Buddy Hield, because that's someone I neglected to talk about earlier on in the podcast. Buddy had a fantastic game, and he really was the reason why the Kings were in the game after their struggles defensively in the second quarter. Buddy Hield ended up with 27 points, but the majority of those points came in the first half. He was absolutely lights out shooting from the field to open up the game. He started 5 of 5 from three-point range, ended up 5 of 8, though, for the games. You didn't get a single three-pointer from him in crunch time and in the second half, which is something the Kings desperately needed. I felt like the Kings went away from him and implementing him into the offense in that second half down the stretch when they needed a big bucket, and Buddy Hield has been huge for the Kings so far this year in getting those clutch buckets, whether it was a three-point bucket or attacking the rim, anything like that. So I would like to see the Kings try and get Buddy Hield more involved, not just in isolation sets, but ball movement, getting out in transition, and the Kings have slowed down a little bit in transition play as well. That's something that I want to talk about more in tomorrow's podcast as we preview the Kings taking on the Denver Nuggets, the number one team in the Western Conference, Denver Nuggets, that game happening on Thursday. So that's going to be a huge game and a huge matchup for the Sacramento Kings. But Bobby, fantastic call. Thank you for taking the time all the way from DC, not just to watch the game, but to call in here and be a part of the Locked On Kings podcast. If you want to be like Jaden or like Bobby, all you have to do is pick up your phone at any time and call the number 909-566-0232. That sends you right to voicemail, and there you can leave your name, your Twitter handle, anything like that, and your message. I listen to all of them, and I will select as many as I can to be a part of the Locked On Kings podcast every single day. So if you want to respond to what we talked about in today's podcast or anything Kings related, call that number and leave a message. I certainly would appreciate it, and you get your opportunity to have your voice be heard here on this Locked On Kings platform. Unfortunately, Kings get two bad losses, two fourth quarter collapses over our break. But now that the Locked On Kings podcast is back and we are returning to our regular schedule Monday through Friday each and every day, now that the holidays have come to a close, maybe the Kings can get back to their winning ways here and get back on the right track in 2019. Going to be a tough task against the Denver Nuggets here coming up. But remember, as this really difficult 13-game stretch comes to a close, a lot of winnable games over the horizon. If the Kings can manage to be 500 or better coming out of this stretch, I like their chances to get back to their winning ways and get that record back above 500 comfortably. My name is Matt George. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Again, Happy New Year. Call our number, 909-566-0232. Let your voice be heard right here on the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.